Hello, Bethel. We're back for another Matthew Bible Study podcast, this time concluding Matthew chapter 18. And the parable that the Lord Jesus uses to conclude this chapter is often called the parable of the unmerciful servant. This servant demonstrated an epic failure to forgive. The passage starts at chapter 18 of Matthew in the 21st verse, where it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" Or some Bibles say 70 times seven. Forgiveness is the act of discharging an obligation owed by another to me. Right? If somebody has offended me and I forgive them, I am discharging that obligation. I am resigning myself to live with the consequences of their sin towards me. Or if someone forgives me, that's what they're doing in the other direction. Forgiveness has psychological consequences. The conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or anger or vengeance or retribution toward a person or a group who has inflicted harm. When we forgive, we don't really weigh up whether they deserve it or whether they've groveled sufficiently. However, forgiveness is really not complete until the person creating the offense has sincerely and legitimately requested to be forgiven, and is sincerely remorseful, recognizing that they've wrongly caused pain. That's the psychological component. For followers of Christ, there is also a spiritual component. Spiritually, forgiveness is the recognition that because I am a recipient of God's grace and forgiveness, and because I am guilty of a much greater sin against Him than any person has ever committed against me, and in recognition of the truth of the gospel, I should have a default position to forgive, to being willing to forgive, to be characterized as a forgiving person. God's forgiveness is spelled out this way in Psalm 103. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." And in Hebrews 10, quoting from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." That's the gospel. But when we go back to this passage in Matthew 18, it's important in human relationships to recognize what Jesus doesn't say, what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not glossing over and denying the seriousness of the offense. Forgiveness does not also mean that I simply forget that it ever happened, because we do remember. We are not instructed to forget or condone or release from accountability, and it doesn't mean that trust is automatically or completely restored. But it does mean, biblical forgiveness does mean, peace of mind and restoration of fellowship, and biblical forgiveness is honoring to Christ. Let's pick up the story at verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." This is a story of credit and debt. But the thing that we probably don't readily realize is that this debt was of colossal proportions. A talent was the highest monetary denomination in Roman currency. For the sake of context, Herod's kingdom, and Herod knew how to spend money, Herod's kingdom tax revenue was between 800 and 900 talents annually. This guy owed 10,000 talents. That would be billions of dollars today. And a significant percentage of all of the economic activity of the entire Roman Empire. It is a colossal debt. And when the man said to the king, "Give me more time and I will pay," that's almost comical. Nobody would live long enough to pay back this debt of billions of dollars. And the reality was that in antiquity, bankruptcy laws were not very lenient. They weren't very forgiving. And so if you owed money and couldn't pay it, you could then be thrown into debtor's prison until you'd paid off that amount. Or, back in the Roman Empire, you could simply be sold as a slave. And if the debt were big enough, your wife would be sold with you, and your kids as well. And for a very large debt, the consequences would be intergenerational. Not only would you and your wife and your kids, but quite possibly future generations could be consigned to slavery because of your inability to pay the debt for which you were responsible. It was harsh, but that was the reality of the day. When I was in the corporate world, sometimes people owed us money and we couldn't get it back. And sometimes my staff would say, well, just write it off. Sounds like it's pretty simple to do that. But I would remind them that when we write off the money, we're actually paying it ourselves. Somebody has to pay the debt. And that's what's going on here. When this colossal debt was forgiven by the king took the crippling loss upon himself. That begins to show us an example of the gospel. Because our indebtedness was borne by Christ on the cross. Our debt to the Lord, though, is not a monetary debt. This is a question of money. Our debt to the Lord is a legal debt because we have violated God's standards of righteousness. We have assaulted God's character by our rebellion against Him. That's the nature of sin. Let's pick it up at verse 28, where there is an epic U-turn in this story. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, that's not an insignificant amount. That's thousands of dollars. But compared to what the first man had been forgiven, billions of dollars, this is pretty inconsequential. Back to the text. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Notice that there was no response to the master's question when he said, shouldn't you have had mercy? Verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. That's a powerful lesson. Notice verse 35, forgiveness has to come from the heart. And the number one reason to forgive is that forgiveness should be in direct proportion to what has been forgiven me. Therefore, I cannot withhold forgiveness from another. The 70 times 7 is an unlimited amount, and sometimes we have to forgive somebody over and over for the single offense. Not even that they continue to do it, but that we forgive them and then it crops back up. It rears its ugly head back in our minds, and we need to forgive them all over again for that one single offense that they may have forgotten about. But if I can't forgive, then I'm not understanding the grievousness of my sin. If I can't forgive, then I'm not understanding the majestic greatness of the forgiveness and mercy and grace that's been extended to me. If I can't forgive, then I'm really not understanding the gospel.